comics and games to movies and TV. This is The Nerd Show on 1310 KFKA. Nerd Rage. Nerd Rage. Now, here are the nerds.
Nerds!
Nerds.
Happy Nerds Day.
Nerds.
Nerds, nerds, nerds. We've had a nerdy week.
We have had a really good nerdy week. Lots of nerddom stuff just dropped. With the Super Bowl this past Sunday, we saw lots of new trailers. We had some great shows between The Bad Batch and The Last of Us and all sorts of great stuff coming out.
You know, I was troubled because I was in Japan and I missed last week's show.
How was Japan?
Oh, it was absolutely phenomenal. Just, wait, have we really not talked about this yet?
Did you see the Gundam?
The Gundam?
Yeah, the big, giant, life-size, real-scale Gundam that they have.
No, I did not. I did a lot more exploring in neighborhoods and went to a Buddhist temple and had the best food of my life between sushi and Wagyu beef. Oh, my gosh. It was a kind of a disappointment to come back to the States and have what I eat here.
Well, we're glad to have you back, nonetheless.
Well, you know they don't have HBO Max over there. I couldn't access it.
That's what VPNs are for.
Yeah, that's what a VPN's for.
Well, that sounds like very proper networking things.
You know, I know somebody who works in technology.
Well, we'll talk after this. I felt bad with my visiting my buddy Tanner, who's a big nerd too. And I'm like, oh, we can watch The Last of Us and we can watch the first couple episodes. And it says, you don't get service here.
Yep.
It's like, well, I guess we won't do this. But anyway,
it's
a good week.
If you have Amazon, maybe they'll allow you to pay for it.
Well, I don't know, maybe. But I didn't want to do that if I already paid for HBO Max. But then by the time I watched that episode that dropped, I was so jet-lagged I fell asleep during it. So I think I'm finally starting to feel a bit normal again.
Good.
Well, whatever normal is for me.
Yeah, that's – the jury's still out on that one.
the spectrum is wide. Very wide.
Changes weekly.
Oh, we're here in the Aloe Fiber Studios. This is The Nerd Show. Thanks for tuning in tonight. We will have an abridged show, but that doesn't mean that we will not have our full show available on Spotify or iTunes. So if you want to know a recap of all the things that we saw during the Super Bowl, that one sporting event for you big nerdians who refuse to watch the sports or the football, we got you covered. So to take a listen online or on Spotify or iTunes, and me, Scott, and Micah will take you on a journey.
But yes,
first,
we will.
Wow, we had the Bad Batch finally brought some, well, you know, they've had a lot of filler episodes enhancing the stories and the plots of a lot of the characters, but we get two fantastic episodes this past week.
And I think I love the fact this is the only time they're dropping two episodes. So that was good. Although, did they drop three when the season started?
I think it was just two. They dropped two or three.
I think they did. So this is the only time they're dropping two in mid-season, and I love that we're getting into the stories and the politics and the stuff that's going on. And it's really filling in the gap of going, wait, we had all these clones. What happened to them? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden we get stormtroopers. And we've been hearing about this, you know, this military act that the clones are all upset about and they don't really want to see happen. And they did a great job with it.
Well, some folks over the years of Star Wars, you know, I don't like politics in Star Wars. But between Andor and these last episodes of Bad Batch, this is great politics in Star Wars.
Yeah.
I don't see what the beef might be with the haters. Well, they're going to hate. But you introduce a relatively new senator to us who's not Mon Mothma, who's not Bail Organa. I mean, we still get Bail Organa.
Yeah.
But Senator Chuchi as a big voice and advocate for the clones. I love the – well, can you just answer me this quick question? Why are they still in full armor when they're out at the bars? There's still just a few clone troopers who are out there.
Maybe that's how they kind of identify. They identify themselves as soldiers, and they don't really have a purpose outside of that.
However, you know, if this is the U.S. military, you are not allowed to go out in your fatigues and drink.
Well, this isn't the U.S. military.
I know, but
the
it's kind
U.S.
of built
military,
off of that.
They are volunteers, whereas a lot of the clones, they were created to be soldiers.
That's
so
true.
What else are they?
I just still think it's odd that the military decorum doesn't say take off your gear before you go out and libate in the depths of Coruscant.
This is a completely different society. They want the military presence there, whereas here in America, we don't want everybody to feel like, oh, there are soldiers
not
everywhere.
Out drinking. Just how you don't have cops out drinking in uniform.
And just so we can be clear, this is not the first time that we ever see this senator, because she actually showed up in some of the episodes that were in I believe it was
Clone Wars,
the
right?
Clone Wars, and we see the whole Zillow Beast stuff attack and some of that. So this is not the first time we've seen the senator, but she has very strong connections with the clones because on her planet, if you remember,
Cantor,
they were all
right?
They were all in the snow gear and everything else. We see Rex, and that's part of the 501st, and they come in and do some of that work. And so she really has a soft spot for the clones, which shows up in these episodes.
Well, I love just the fractures that are happening between Skip and then the other one who was assassinated early on. You're like, ooh, do they have – and I like where your mind – maybe you guys' mind went there too. Oh, Crosshairs is on the hunt.
And yeah, I thought that. That's who I thought that was.
I liked who, that it wasn't. It
I
was an
too.
Assassin. You know, I liked how they didn't even use the Bad Batch in this either. It was two good episodes where – well, they did use the Bad Batch in the second episode, but it's Rex that's still really connected with how many clones does he have under his wing and what's going to happen to all these clones now that they've been essentially decommissioned.
Well, and I love the fact that there's a way out and more of them are trying to get through this. And so it's sort of like – is the inhibitor chip that sort of made them follow the orders and everything else, is it starting to wane? Are we seeing that it has served its purpose and after, you know, Order 66 that, you know, kind of fell by the wayside? Because we don't really get that. But that clone that says he's a follower or he's a believer, excuse me. He says, I'm a believer and there's no identifiable markings on him. You know, his little, you know, ID chip has been removed. So nobody knows who he is. But he's a believer, and so obviously he's being utilized, whether it's by Rampart or somebody else in this regard, to kind of help deal with the rogue clones. But yeah, like you said, they're becoming more and more prevalent, and we're running into more of them, and Rex is continuing to recruit them.
I'm curious, too, you know, if they're going to start their own rebel factions like Rex kind of had and Ahsoka did and Bail Organa. But I love how Palpatine continues to be three or four steps ahead of everybody. Even Mas Ameda felt like, hey, Rampart, don't screw this up. Do you have a backup plan just in case? But then when Palpatine came in, those sirens just started wailing. I mean, it wasn't a triumphant fanfare that you would usually accompany, you know, an emperor. It was, something big's about to happen. And then you see Palps come in. It was awesome. And Ian McDiarmid did come back to reprise that role, which I think is fantastic. But he has a point there where those clones followed Rampart blindly. It wasn't like the Chancellor giving them an order to execute the Jedi. It was an admiral from the Imperial Navy giving an order to completely destroy the Kaminoans, Topoka City, and also the cloning facilities where they have their brothers there.
Yep.
And for that ship to not even trigger a bit of hesitancy from an admiral's orders, we know that Palpatine got it pushed through, but he has a point, which are they're following orders blindly.
Yeah. And kind of in that whole mode is they are able to do everything that they're doing, and it serves Palp's purpose, which is to now get rid of them, and now we're going to go with humans from a conscription perspective and be able to do some of that stuff. So I think it was great.
It was. I saw a thumbs up. I'm really curious how the clones are going to adapt to this, and it makes it even more powerful when that clone sees Obi-Wan in that first episode. Spare some change for a veteran.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They have nothing now. And you saw that, too, with Senator Chuchi trying to hey, you know, you should want this. Like, no, we just want to fight. That's why we're here. Yeah, but what about when you're older and you can't fight anymore? What happens now?
And how long do they live?
40, maybe. How old are they now? Between 25 and 33 or so? I don't know how many more years they might have, or is there a way that they can kind of shut down the accelerated age?
Probably not.
Because it's a good 8, 12, 15 years till Return of the Jedi. I mean, Old Man Rex, if that is indeed Old Man Rex on Endor, he'll be pushing a pretty hefty age by then.
Yeah. There was a lot of that. And I remember even reading in the books that are now no longer canon that there was an element where there was this old set of clones that had this TIE squadron, you know, on this planet in the middle of nowhere, and Luke and Leia and all get, you know, they kind of, and Han have to show up there, and some things happen, and they find out that they've just kind of become farmers. They just want to, you know, do their thing and be farmers, and they want to be left alone and everything else. So I think there's a big background story that really relates to some of the clone troopers and what we're seeing. And I love the story that we're being told now and how it's really developing. And I think the next several episodes are going to give us, I'm hoping, a little bit more clones and a little bit more of their story and kind of what happens to get them. Because obviously, you know, Palpatine is using whoever he needs to, the whole thing with Rampart and, mm-hmm. you know, Grand Admiral, you know, Grand Moff Tarkin was the one that told him, and Governor Tarkin was going to do this and made sure that this wasn't going to fall back on him. It's like, even if it fall back on him, he's still going to get manipulated out of it. And, you know, Palpatine is using it exactly to get what he wants, and it's going to happen either way. And I love the storytelling that they're doing in this series.
We only have a few years until we start to get the height of Andor, and it's good to see that the Senate is still pretty active. You're going to see a lot of deterioration yep. there, probably in the Bad Batch. Of when does it, what's happening to those senators? Are they giving up? Are they being executed by Palpatine? I'm curious. Before the Senate is truly dissolved in A New Hope, and you see how bare it is in Andor with Mon Mothma.
Yeah.
It's a lot more politics to still be had, and I'm digging the show.
Yeah, I'm really happy with the way it has picked up the pace in the last few episodes.
I was surprised we didn't see any TKs though come in when he announced that order. Like
I think he's playing that off to the side.
Nick, you mentioned earlier that some people are complaining about politics and how they don't like politics. I don't think that this is politics that people should be upset about. I think this is perfectly benign politics the yeah. way it is. It's nothing that should offend anybody.
They just want starship battles and lightsaber battles and gun
yeah,
fights.
Yeah, the stuff that Star Wars is used to. And I think it's okay for Star Wars to step out of its bounds just a little bit. I would have a problem if it tried to be Star Trek, because it can't be. That world's not built for it. Star Trek's world is. And I get bothered when Star Trek tries to, you know, become more like Star Wars.
Like the latest trilogy that we had with Chris Pine, which I enjoyed because it was more Star Wars than Star Trek, but I digress.
Yeah, it was very much like Star Wars, but it didn't have the core of what Star Trek is. I think the politics in this is actually really interesting, but I don't think it's anything that someone really should be offended by. It's perfectly benign.
No, they're offended by everything these days.
Yeah.
But stay tuned for The Last of Us. We'll be back after this break to talk about the latest episode that just dropped a few days ago. Actually, it was last week. Friday.
Yeah.
Anyway,
ooh.
Stay tuned.
On Friday. Yeah.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Nerd Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. The Last of Us, based on a video game. We're 5 episodes in now of this season.
Is it just 5?
Just 5. It feels like a lot more of the way they're telling the story, because we're getting a lot of good
yep.
back information for each for each episode that feels like you've seen more of the series than actually has been out.
Now, I just want to say that last week I said that I thought Kathleen, and I may have used the word name Karen, and I was wrong, but her name was Kathleen.
She was kind of a Karen.
It was kind of. I thought that she was a horrible, horrible human being. I'm going to amend that statement that she is like the worst human being. And oh my gosh, that character is just sadistic.
Oh gosh, yeah. And not like in a kind of like get off kind of way.
No.
But just with her narrow-mindedness and just vitriol and hatred she has to everybody. Because her brother died.
Well, and it's how her brother died, and that scene in their bedroom with her mm. and her, you know,
henchman,
you know, the sergeant at arms, whatever else,
who voiced Tommy in the first game,
yeah, because I think he plays a character by the name of Perry in this one. But oh my gosh, and the actress that plays that character, even in the post, you know, the post episode stuff, she's talking about, she's like not a fan of this woman, but just flat out is like, I know exactly what my brother would say. She said, I should forgive. No, mm-hmm. I'm not going to. And to see that play out at the very end of the episode, when she's like, you know, I'll come out, let the kids go. No, he should have died. Yeah. I mean, she's literally It's just like,
how powerful was that for Joel to hear, though? Because she says, no, I have to kill the girl because, well, she's associated with the guy who killed Milford. Yeah. I don't know his name. Kenny. He killed Kenny.
Brian.
Brian, yeah.
Brian.
And then, Sam, well, you know why I have to kill him. And he basically
connects to you.
No one is that important.
Yeah.
You know, no one is, and then, but she is.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing I think Joel could take away of, oh, yeah, she does matter.
Yeah.
But you're right. She came, and then she came back and cornered the kids again before she got taken down by the little child jumper thingy.
Yeah, the child clicker. So
Isn't that great? A child clucker
from
got her.
Very, very poetic justice kind of mindset. It definitely was. But, oh,
she, well, and you saw how cold she was. In last episode, you see her assassinate the doctor, just whatever. But then you see her with the room of people of, they were called collaborators, which were, the worst scum on the planet, apparently. But then you see why they did what they did. And I think when you're in that kind of world, what harsh judgments of making those decisions. I mean, for Henry, it's getting leukemia medicine for his brother Sam. For others, it could be an apple that's either life or death. Not saying what those collaborators did was just, but did any of them look like the soldiers that she's leading of just the worst people? No, just shoot them.
Well, and then,
burn them
and when she says that, it's like, put you on trial and all these other things. And then she walks out. Are we going to really put him on trial? No, we're not going to do that. Take care of them and burn the bodies. It's more efficient. And you're just like, there were women and children in that room when she's talking to all of them. And you're just like, this is a sick, sadistic woman. And to think that all of her backstory is based off of her losing her brother.
Mm-hmm.
And her brother was a good guy that everybody loved. And even Henry said that. And I thought it was interesting when Perry is talking to her and says, we all loved your brother.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing happened until after he died.
Yeah.
And it was almost like that they loved her and they almost worshipped her because she took their angst and their plight and made something happen when they decided to get rid of Fedra because of all the things that took place. And it's like, because her brother Michael died, now they go up and they attack them and they become vicious and they revolt and now they're the resistance, and it was just like, wow.
Oh, they're just harsh and brutal. What's shocking, too? I'm disappointed we couldn't have seen who might have been cast as Michael, the brother. That would have been maybe interesting to throw in had there been more time for episodes. One thing that kind of disappoints me is just in the trailers already, we see that he gets reconnect with Tommy next week. Boy, they moved rather quickly through this. How many seasons can we expect from this? I mean, it's not a question we can answer now, but I go, they're plowing through the country.
Hopefully not 10.
Well, I'm worried that, well, not worried, but just the trailer even indicated that there's some problems that are going to surface when they show up with Tommy, because now it's almost like, well, now Tommy's a part of the Fireflies or whatever else, and now they're going to get put on trial for stuff that they did to survive, and that is going to get ugly. So I don't know what's going on there. But before we get too far ahead of ourselves, I mean, we should talk about this episode.
And I wish there was more time because, a Kathleen would have been an interesting character to have as a kind of a villain for a few more episodes, but she went down quickly, just like that entire town, Kansas City. But then we see Sam and Henry, and boy, what a relationship. Oh. What parallels between Joel and
Ellie,
between Henry and Sam. And fun fact, he wasn't deaf in the video game, but he is an actual deaf actor. And and that post-episode scene, I love that. We're like, hey, what if we make Sam deaf? And he goes, oh, I'm angry because I didn't think of that.
Yes.
But I thought it was magnificent of that enhancing the story for that codependency and that survival. But also just it shows that not everyone can be a superhuman. And same with Joel, he's deaf in one ear. We got that last episode when you don't hear from your right ear very well.
Yep.
But that kid was fantastic. He was a cute
great
kid.
Actor. It was a great story, and I love the way they played it. And it was very interesting for me when we see Henry and you realize who Henry is in this week's episode. I was like, wait, this is the guy that they're hunting?
Yeah, this kind guy who's never heard of fly. The guns that they held up Ellie and Joel with last week were not even loaded. And his brother even held a gun before that. And I love that kind of preview. They're doing such a great job. I really want to commend them for that, for the opening scenes for the first two episodes, for the entire flashback episode with some cushion on both sides with Ellie and Joel, to these 10 minutes of showing, you know, enough information so we feel we can know Henry and Sam's characters without spiraling too far into an entire episode and feel like we don't get too much progress with the story. But I just loved the storytelling.
And I was really happy with how they explained how they got found, because that was something I was a little angry with at the end of last week's episode, when they wake up and now, you know, what we find out now is Henry and Sam hold them at gunpoint. It's like, wait, what? Wait, they have been so careful. They've been they've been sneaking around. They're looking for these other two people. How do they all of a sudden get captured? Mm-hmm. And I like the way that they explained that, and it was really well done.
Yeah.
I mean, again, it made perfect sense, fit with everything that we were doing, and I loved it.
I think we're seeing this show learn from what The Walking Dead failed to do. The Walking Dead would introduce you to someone, and you would kind of get attached to them, but you wouldn't really get attached to them. When they killed off a character, after a while, it was just like, oh, I know I'm not going to care about this person. They're just kind of giving them some lines. But in this show, you actually give a crap about them. You like this kid, like, yeah, it would suck just for the kid to die, but like, you are actually emotionally invested in the kid and his brother. And then what has to happen happens, and that hurts your heart, and you lose a bit of your soul.
And I know we're running up against the clock here, so I would love to be able to talk about that after the break, because that whole in sequence, the last 3 or 4 minutes of the episodes was just
devastating. You're just sitting on eggshells because you know what's going to happen. But stay tuned for more of The Last of Us review. This show's just getting better and better. But we'll have more to say about this latest episode when we come back from this break. Very interesting musical choice, as we're about to discuss the last few moments of this latest episode.
They got to get to higher ground. Anthony.
Oh, gosh. Oh. Well, before we talk about the surprises that happened, or maybe they weren't surprises to many of you who have played the games, but certainly for us, we got to see our first bloater this episode at just the perfect time. That was, the tunnels are under there. What a cool way of safety. What a cool way for Sam to communicate, too, with his little toy that's from the 90s.
It's not an Etch-A-Sketch, but it feels like an Etch-A-Sketch, that whole thing, yeah. It's one of the...
But, Henry did not know that it was clear down there. He needed Joel to get them to safety and kind of manipulate him. But they have a good moment when the kids are playing in that little basement world. We never see what happens there, but that was a community after the apocalypse that ended up falling. And Joel apologizes for, hey, I'm sorry what I said about you being a rat. You don't deserve that. And Joel's a fascinating character. He learns quickly. And I think Tess would be really proud of who he's become from the first episode to where he is now.
I agree. And they're learning about one another, and he's growing as a human being, and he's becoming a little bit more. And we see it towards the end of the episode when he's, in the sniper position in the house where he's already, and I loved that whole exchange between him and the old guy, Anthony. He's like, the guy can't shoot. Mm-hmm. I'm going to, sneak up behind him. And he sneaks up behind him and literally has him, dead to rights. And he's like, look, put the gun down, kick it over to me, stay in the house for an hour, and you're good. Mm-hmm. And the guy's sitting there looking at him, and Joel's saying, and he says to him like 3 times, don't do it. Mm-hmm. Don't do it. Don't do it.
And then you hear the shot.
And then the guy tries to turn on him, and there's no way he's going to be able to get him, but he does it anyways, and Joel has to shoot him. And then the radio comes on, and now it's Aaron. Joel's in the window. He's got the rifle, and he is in panic mode trying to protect Ellie. Mm-hmm. That's his number one mission, and you see it in his face, in his actions, in his facial expressions. He is like trying to do everything he can to protect this girl.
That was seeing him kill it. Well, we didn't see it. We just know because of the gunshot. Powerful. You know where his heart is. He's not out there to kill, which was, again, different than the violence he has had before he's taken Ellie under his wing. It's Well, we get to the, they're in a nice luxury hotel for the
Beyond because, you know, the bloater comes out and rips, you know,
Perry's head off.
And we see that guy doesn't go down easy. So wonder what they're going to have to do there. And
yeah, how do bloaters, we're going to have to, that's going to be curious.
Yeah.
If clickers are impressive to kill, and Joel's killed two of them, what does it take to kill a bloater?
Maybe somebody on social media could like post on our Facebook page what it takes to kill a bloater in the game.
Hmm.
That would be a good thing to know, because I don't know.
Well, I would have known that last night after, or Sunday after the Super Bowl, because I was very bloated. I ate a lot of food.
Well, we're glad you're still here, Michael.
Well, we're glad you're here. We could talk about
rip
that.
Off
I had a lot of
head.
Mountain Dew.
Oh, my gosh.
So we get into the hotel sequence, yeah. And Ellie and Sam have a really great bond, and she's kind of coming into her own by being kind of childlike, but also very maternal, I think, too.
Like an older sister.
Yeah. And Sam has no fear, almost to a fault.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what to expect when he was writing to her, and then when you see that on screen of, are you still the same person when you're infected or when you become a monster?
When the monster inside you.
And it was just, oh my gosh, no way. And then, I mean, Ellie's not going to tell Joel because he's going to kill him.
Yeah.
And I love the way that she thinks, oh, well, I know I'm unique. I'm going to be able to save people. Let me just cut myself and rub this all over you. I knew it wasn't going to work, but I love where her heart is. And I think that's going to be important for her to realize just how valuable she is, because it's not just here, drink a little bit of my blood and you're going to be cured. But weren't you still hopeful the next morning?
Oh, I was.
When I was not at all.
When she wakes up and he's just sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, okay, how are they going to do this? What's going to happen? And then he just goes at her right away viciously and attacks her. And then we see the whole thing play out where, you know, you see Joel and Henry grabs the gun from Joel.
Mm-hmm.
And then he shoots Sam. And that was devastating. I was like, oh. And then he's like, what did I do?
I did not expect that.
I didn't either.
The emotion, the emotion in that guy's face.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what he was going to do next. Is he going to shoot Joel and Ellie?
I didn't either. But you could see that Joel knew something was going on. Because he keeps saying, hey, just give me the gun.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the gun. He's like, what did I do? What did I do? He's like, give me the gun. Because he knows that he is on the edge.
Well, and I love this. Usually in acting and commercials, you don't have the stutters like we have in normal life, especially when we're flustered. But he had that. That was brilliant acting of, what did I do? What did I do? And just that adrenaline racing. And But he lost his purpose, just like Bill. Yeah. When Frank passed, he didn't have a purpose anymore.
But they
were ready to go with him. That's the most heartbreaking part of, wow, I'm going to love this little foursome that's going to be traversing to Wyoming.
This new adventure. And I yelled out at the TV when you realize he's going to shoot himself and he puts a gun to his head. I'm like, no! And he shot himself. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. And then the very end scene when Ellie walks up, she's like, she's ready to go. She drops the pack at Joel's feet and then puts the little Etch-a-Sketch, you know, sign thingy down there, and it says, I'm sorry.
Now, what do you think she's sorry for? Because her blood
couldn't save him.
Because of the blood, or because, do you think that was it? Or
because she said, my blood is medicine and it'll save you. And she was
wrong.
But
do you think she really knew that or thought that?
I think she thinks it. I really do. Because she even says it to Joel. And he says, I think it's way more complicated than that. And
now she knows it's
more
complicated.
Now she knows. So that is going to change her persona a little bit more. And it's going to change what she feels, what is able to do. But my gosh, it was heart-wrenching. It was difficult. But again, great storytelling, you know, great acting all around. It's just
It shows that this show is truly about Ellie and Joel, and they can introduce phenomenal characters for us to get attached to, for us to hate in the span of two episodes, like Kathleen, or even just one episode, really. And then they're gone. They're all gone. Same with Bill and Frank. You wow, these are great characters. Can't wait to see how this is going to transpire. Oh, they're dead.
Yeah.
But it's I'm not upset by that. I mean, I am. I'd love to see Nick Offerman kicking some rear end and Henry and Sam able to tag along, but what great storytelling and just powerful. And I'm concerned there's a lot that's going to happen when they get to Wyoming, which seems to be pretty quickly. But the story's not about the walkers. I don't know what else to call them right now. The clickers, the infected, the fungi. it's really about people and this is this relationship with Joel and Ellie.
This is exactly what The Walking Dead was not about. The Walking Dead became like, you know,
would your mind have shifted?
It was not,
let's say,
people based.
What's the baby's name? Jolene, Jolie, Julie, Judy. What if she had the blood that would cure you from walkers? I mean, if maybe The Walking Dead would have been different had they had a cure.
Yeah.
At least something to live for. I
never watched The Walking Dead, so I couldn't tell you.
Don't do it.
But like, before I got Micah going on there, we got
and then when it became so repetitive and it was the next bad guy and then you would kind of care and then the next bad guy and you would kind of care and it just became the same thing over and over again. And there was never one really big emotional loss, except for in season two.
For more of Micah's takes on Walking Dead, listen to any of our episodes from before.
Season five, excuse me.
Yeah. All right, Last of Us predictions before we wrap up the show. Anything, guys? I mean, it's so difficult to predict what's going to happen, mainly because we haven't played the games.
Ellie's going to grow up fast in the next few episodes.
She is, and Tommy is going to not be the person that Joel thinks he is when mm-hmm. he get there.
Oh, I suspect that too.
I am.
Oof. Ellie's seen more in the last couple days than, a couple weeks, I guess. Not easy to traverse that. Well, thanks for listening to The Nerd Show. For those of you who want more, tune in on Spotify, iTunes, or online for one more segment. Otherwise, Nerdians, you stay nerdy, and we will see you next week. To The Nerd Show. We just got cut off the air because of a game of sorts. Sports things. Basketball?
Sports ball.
Volleyball?
Items. I don't know.
NCAA basketball.
Oh, all right.
There you go.
Cool. Anyway, so our last segment today. Thanks for tuning in. If you are listening either online, Spotify, iTunes, we had a lot of trailers come out during the sports ball game, the big game this weekend. I couldn't catch all of them because, you know, I was at a party and there was food to be enjoyed. For Micah, that was definitely a bloating day.
Batman! Yeah.
You know, on Brew Talk yesterday, how you guys drink a lot of beer and you mentioned things.
Yeah.
Like how much you would drink. I drank more Mountain Dew than all of you guys drank beer.
Did you stress drink Mountain Dew during the Super Bowl?
No, because the Broncos weren't playing, so I didn't have a lot, you know, invested. Plus, it was a conversation with two people that I really care about. I only see him once a year for the Super Bowl, so we talked to each other the entire time. I missed all the commercials, missed a lot of the game, but I had a lot of fun because I care about these people.
Well, if you missed all the commercials, then you missed out on a lot because there were quite a few that dropped and a lot of stuff to be excited about. So
that's what YouTube is for.
Well, it is what YouTube is for. You can check on those things later. But what we saw during the Super Bowl, we saw our trailer for Indiana Jones 5.
Boring.
I'm not sure what to think about that. That's a little bit odd.
You know he's not going to be able to do any of those stunts. That's going to take me away.
I don't know what's
going to
happen there.
It also looks like it's set in the past.
Yeah, we saw this really cool long Disney commercial.
That was a good one.
Which was great. And one of the fun things is there's a couple of people that I actually know were in that commercial as Star Wars fans. So that was really kind of cool to see. We saw an Ant-Man commercial for Heineken Zero. I was really a little bit like, really? We're doing that? That was kind of odd. So that was interesting.
You know, they told him not to shrink down for the beer. You know,
don't drink when you shrink. Yeah, I don't know. That was like it. And don't give the ants beer. It was a little bit odd. I felt like, you know, kind of like this product placement that we're doing for Marvel. But
this comes out this week, too.
It does.
Which is strange. They didn't have a trailer for it. Anyway, that's...
But my favorite commercial was The Flash. And part of it is because we get to see Michael Keaton back as Batman.
Best Batman.
In the same show as Ben Affleck as Batman. So we're going to see both of them because it's different universes. We're going to see Supergirl in that regard. I think there's a great opportunity for this. And I've heard James Gunn say that it is one of the best action movies that he's ever seen, and he is really, really high on this, and I really hope that it turns out well.
Well, I'm worried about it, honestly.
Do tell.
It's the latter part of the DCEU. I've always liked the Flash actor, Ezra Miller.
Yep,
I always
Flactor.
Thought he played a really good Flash. But it's none of it's really come together very well other than the first Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of rewrites and a lot of postponements. And a lot of times that says this might not be a very good movie. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it is a good movie.
It could be. I don't know.
But
I'm
excited for it. DC has to get their stuff together.
Yeah.
And why couldn't it be this one?
Well, and they've said that this is really the reset. So this is really where we're going to see the DCEU. It's kind of the end of the DCEU era, and then the DCU era begins, is really what we're seeing.
So discontinued, what's the EU?
Expanded universe.
Okay, and now we're going to the DCU.
Just the DCU. Yeah, that's my understanding.
Okay. So they're starting it with a kind of a time travel where you have two Batmans. I think that's interesting.
Well, and you have multiple ones. And, you know, because they're wrapping that into it. So we're going to see all these different elements. And again, we've got a Supergirl instead of a Superman, which I think is kind of cool. I'm excited to see how that goes.
So it's kind of like, they're pulling from Doctor Strange, you know, where you had some different...
Yeah.
Male to female characters featured there when you get a bit of the Fantastic Four and whatnot, but
I'm not a comic book aficionado, so I don't know where the different multiverses started to come into place and who did what first. I mean, Marvel brought it to the cinema stage first before DC did, and I don't know, maybe DC did it first in the comic books. I don't know, but I know they both explored that option because it gives you a bunch of options to deal with stuff that we're dealing with right now.
Well, I kind of excited about it. So Michael Keaton, it's been 34 years since he suited up for Batman. And I saw a college speech that he gave a couple years ago at a commencement. It was just fantastic. And he goes, and I have one last thing I want to say for everybody.
I'm Batman.
Yes. That was fantastic. He said, I want to be no confusion about what I'm going to say to you.
Yep.
So please take this with you the rest of your lives, your career. And
it was great. Well, and then we also saw 65. And we were talking about it a little bit before the show. I'm not really sure what I think about that. It's a really odd take on Earth's origin. And it's basically saying, hey, Adam Driver, I think it's interesting that we now have Adam Driver is going to be the male that populates the Earth based on this movie. And it's not really his character's name. His character's name is Mills in the show, but he's a pilot that is from another universe or something else, and they crash land on Earth 65 million years ago with a single female young character or passenger, and they have to fight off dinosaurs, and they're so far advanced technology-wise that they aren't going to be able to make it off and fix their ship, and then they end up populating the Earth, and that's how humans discovered Earth. At least that's the premise of this film.
I don't like the fact that she's much younger than
I don't either. That's a little bit, and yeah, it's a little bit weird. I'm not really a big fan of that. And
I hope they find other people. Like they find, there are other Earthlings out there.
I don't think we're going to go there.
Not forget our history. I mean, women were pregnant at 12 and 14.
I know, but we don't really need to see that in a science fiction film. That if quote unquote humans are so far technologically advanced that we're at that stage, that we shouldn't be reverting back to those things. Although, who knows? I don't know.
That's fair. Just a quick plug. Have you guys seen Nope? I watched that on my flight.
Nope.
I have not.
It was pretty good. Anyway, that was just a quick thing. Anyway,
I think that's the third of those three horror films that have come out. And I don't know if they're connected at all. I think Us was the second one.
Yeah, I don't think that they are.
No.
But
was it called
good.
Us or Them?
I think it was called Them.
Them. Okay. I never saw Them, so I kind of want to watch Them before I see Nope.
It was pretty good. It was kind of sci-fi, very sci-fi. But
yeah,
anyway,
if it's
I digress.
Horror, that'd be a no for me.
I don't know if it was my horror, but it could be.
I don't know. Not a horror fan.
Spaceships and aliens and other interesting things.
Okay, well, that doesn't sound very horror-ish.
No.
See, everybody said that Get Out was a horror movie. I didn't think it was a horror movie. It was more a suspense thriller to me, and I loved that movie.
Mm. That
I thought it was
one.
Great. Shockingly great. I didn't think I would like it. Usually I hate things when everybody says, and maybe it's the contrarian in me. When everybody says, oh, this is a great movie, I kind of am like, yeah, right.
Oh, we've seen that on the show.
Yes.
Rings of Power, House of the Dragon. Yeah, just, we can make
well, no, Rings of Power is actually a piece of crap.
I highly disagree.
I had expectations for it to be decent or better, and
it was. In fact, it was it better. It was probably the best.
Yeah,
it was pretty awful.
What other commercials?
I
did
wish
you
I could have flushed it down the toilet.
That did not air.
You know, I think the biggest one that I was expecting to air that didn't was a Budweiser commercial. There was no Budweiser commercial.
What about nerdy things like a Mando?
I wasn't surprised that we didn't see anything Mando because I think they've got enough of a following. The other thing that was really odd. Because we talked about it on the show about 3 or 4 weeks ago about the whole thing with the M&Ms and Maya Rudolph coming in. Well, now the M&Ms are back for good, that they didn't get canceled. So we literally had the M&Ms spokes candies were in a commercial for the Super Bowl. So I'm like,
I saw that.
Was this like, you know, were they faking us out? Was this a deke where they were like, hey, we're going to pretend this happens and then we're going to pull a fast one on you? I don't know. I thought that was interesting.
It was weird to not get an Ant-Man. We didn't get a Mando. And I think you're right. It's coming up with just a couple weeks before Mando Season 3 drops.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything else that might be coming out soon that I expected or wanted to see.
Picard. Yeah,
there was a little bit of a Paramount Plus kind of, you know,
yeah.
big
yeah, but
overarching
I've seen that,
one.
That, I've
yeah.
seen that one before.
Yeah.
The one where he's like, Balake.
Yes. There were some of those.
I laugh every time I see it.
Yeah, those are pretty good. I did think the Pepsi Zero commercial was pretty funny with Ben Stiller.
That was a good one.
I thought that was pretty humorous.
We did get a Guardians commercial.
Oh, that's right. I completely forgot about Guardians.
That was
3.
The one I came back after getting some food. I go, so I haven't seen that one
yet. Yeah, you're right. I forgot about that. We are seeing whatever Rocket's, like, you know, Penn the Otter that apparently is going to show up in this episode. And we're going to see some other elements. And I thought it was really funny about the conversation about Gamora. And then you see going, she's kind of a beep. She's like, well, that's a little simplification of it, but pretty much you're right on. And then all of a sudden he starts looking at her and she's like, oh, my gosh, no. Well, I didn't really ever look at your eyes before. My father gave them to me as a form of punishment. Well, it was a really good choice. It's just kind of weird. So, and I'm not a fan of the Groot that they've got in this one.
Really? Yeah, that's weird looking. What?
It's like a big giant
like
guy
wearing
in a suit.
Armor or something.
Yeah, I am not a fan of it.
It was the Christmas Groot.
Yeah, it is. It's
which
from
I
the
thought
Christmas
I
special.
Thought like, oh, maybe he's just like that because it was low budget.
I don't know.
I don't like it.
They couldn't CGI the whole Groot, so they put him in a rubber suit or something. Yeah, I'm not a fan of the Groot.
I haven't seen. I didn't see the.
Yeah, it looks like and maybe they're trying to say it's some adolescent version where short and stocky and hasn't really filled out yet. But I'm just like, it just doesn't. It looks cheap.
How old was Groot when the first Guardians came out? Do you think?
I don't know that we ever hear that.
Like, I assume he's like a 200-year Wookiee like Chewbacca.
I would
you
think
know?
The same thing.
And we'll take 200 years till he's back to that Groot we all fell in love with.
But it just seems weird that how he's so blocky and shorter and stocky as opposed to what he was before.
So like a George Costanza in Groot form?
It is kind of, I think that would be about right.
Hopefully he's wearing his Timberlands when he goes into battle. He's going to be a few inches taller.
It's just weird. So, yeah, I don't know.
There was also Secret Invasion.
Well, Secret Invasion, I went back and looked, and it released during the Super Bowl, but I don't believe it was actually on television during the broadcast. It actually got dropped online, and so we did get a Secret Invasion
trailer.
That
one was kind of like, it sort of explained what's going to go on, but it was nothing special.
Is this connected to anything that we've seen so far, Secret Invasion?
So the Krill are in it, and Ben Mendelsohn's character's back, and he's got a prominent part in this one as well, and they're talking about the different elements and what's going into it and some of the security and some of the elements, and we see not Anthony Mackie, but the guy who plays War Machine, Rhodey.
You see
him in it again, and so there's definitely some tie-ins and some crossovers that are happening. And then Colby Smulders is in it again as Agent Hill. So we see some of those characters show up.
The tricky part of that movie is going to be, you know, who's a shapeshifter and who's not.
Well, and I believe that this is actually going to be streaming. So this is not going to be a movie. It's actually going to be a Disney streaming series.
Is that, you know, I know a lot of actors, they think that they've made it big when they're in movies and not TV shows. You know, I was looking at Ben, what's his name?
Mendelsohn,
who played Krennic in Rogue One. Marvel's got such a big name and a big brand, but you go from movies like that to series. Do you think that has as much of an impact nowadays with how streaming services kind of are like miniseries and movie form?
I don't. I think the fact that you are getting such great connections and service from the different opportunities that people are having, I don't think there's a big difference between the two anymore. I don't. Micah, what do you think?
I don't think so either. There's such... sometimes it just feels like a crapshoot. You can have a really high-quality movie, a really low-quality movie, really high-quality TV show, really low-quality TV show. Speaking of shows, by the way, have you guys seen Chernobyl?
Yes. That's a fantastic series.
Oh, my God. That is 5 episodes. So good. Shockingly good. I was impressed.
HBO Max also. I just watched it last year, I think, maybe a year before. Wow.
I don't know if it counts as like something that I watch in 2023 because it came out a while ago. But it was really good, and I'd recommend it.
Awesome.
Maybe 5.5,
and
6 hours long.
I will try to pick that up when I have more time on my hands.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I say that all the time.
Stop having a job and friends.
I'll work on that, Micah. Thank you for the advice.
Well, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure nerding it out with
you
again. We'll have another review of The Bad Batch, Last of Us.
And of course, Picard.
And Picard next week.
Comes out. And whenever we get a chance to see Ant-Man.
Live long and prosper.
Well, Nerdians, this has been The Nerd Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. You stay nerdy.